glad to be here, folks. Always glad to be here. And we appreciate your prayers, your interest in us. We appreciate this fellowship very much. We pray for you. And we especially liked the retreat last weekend. It was an excellent retreat. And Fred Cozen, he's something else. We were there waiting at the door, and so Fred came in, Fred and his wife, and we faced him. Doreen says, "Don't tell him who we are." And so we just stood there and chatted with him a minute. He was searching his head for who this is. And finally we had to tell him. Bill and Doreen Roller. And he lit right up. He says, "Oh, yes, how good it is to see you." And we knew him way back in our literature teams that went out. We spent time with Fred. He did a lot of good turns for us back then and had a very good time with Fred and his wife. And so he was so glad to see us, and we him. He never expected us to be there, and there we were. So we had a great time with Fred, visiting with him, spending some time of fellowship with him while we were there. And but we appreciated very much the ministry. We appreciated the fellowship of everybody there at that retreat. And the Lord bless. The Lord really did bless and answer to all of our prayers. Today, I want to talk to you a little bit from Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. I spent a bit of time over these chapters here. Not only 6, but 5, 6, 7, 8. And I spent a bit of time over those. And so it was just kind of laid on my heart. Well, Bill, talk about them Sunday. Talk about them to your people, to the Lord's people. And so in these chapters, there's a real challenge given to us. And I think we need to be reminded of some of these things every once in a while, so that we might be active, that we might be dedicated in our life, that we might live a life that has victory over sin, over death, over the things that face us all the time. The worst enemy, I think, is the flesh. And but we can have victory over the flesh. We don't have to go on day after day and then just kind of blah in all of the things and participate in a lot of things probably we shouldn't and things like that. So it was kind of laid on my heart to speak on this. And I think there are 4 main points in all of these chapters. The first one is to know, a knowledge. The meaning of your baptism, know that. That's chapter 6 mostly, where it's a picture of us being in death with Christ, buried with Christ, resurrected with Christ. And that means new life for every one of us. That means we have new life, eternal life, everlasting life, and that we can live for the Lord Jesus in anticipation of that time. Now, someone has said, well, the Lord has put us here. We go through all of the things that we go through, and the main purpose is that we be conformed to the image of Christ, that we become more and more like His Son. And if we're not doing that, if we don't, not happening in our lives, then we're missing the point. We're missing what God's purpose for us here is, regardless of anything else. He wants the Lord Jesus to be formed in us. That's wonderful. He saved us out of the depths of sin in order to make us like His Son, in order to take us home to glory. That's a tremendous hope we have before us. We never lose sight of, no matter what happens. We always see that. Okay, we know you have been crucified with Christ. Know that. Verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him. Knowing that we are risen with Christ, in verse 9. Knowing that, Paul always puts before us that idea of knowledge, of knowing. We can know. We can be certain. We can be certain of our life and of our future. We can be certain of the Lord and what He is doing within our life. And we are slave to whatever we seek, or to whatever masters you. We're a slave to that. If my flesh is mastering me in some particular area, then I'm slave to that. I'm not slave to the Lord. This is what spoke a lot to me. Whenever I give in to the flesh, whenever I give in to temptation, and do the things I know that's not pleasing God, not pleasing the Lord, then I'm being a slave to that thing. And sometimes there comes something into our life that we're a slave to, and it stays there, it persists there. And it's powerful in us. How am I going to overcome this? I've got to overcome this. I don't want to be mastered by the flesh. I don't want to be mastered by anything. I want the Lord to be my master. And if we keep this in mind day after day, we can have victory over things that come into our life. We can remember who the Lord Jesus is, what He has done. We can remember the Holy Spirit's within, working within our life. We can remember that He wants us to follow Him, to walk with Him. We can remember that we can submit to God and the devil will flee from us. Oh, that's a victory, isn't it? We can remember to be submissive to the Lord, and He will work in our lives. We can remember these points in our Christian experience with the Lord. And we can turn to the Lord, and we can look to Him for the victory, the help. He gives it. He gives us that victory. He gives us that help. All right? Know is one thing. Second is reckon. That is, count it a fact. To see ourselves as God sees us. That's wonderful, because God has made us acceptable. God has put on us the righteousness of Christ. He looks at us. He doesn't see our old self. He sees Christ. And the more I give to Christ, the more I dwell on Christ, the more I'm going to follow Him and walk with Him. The more I'm going to please God. That's the important thing, pleasing God. Okay? And we're to reckon ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, alive unto God. And such reckoning really checks the reign of sin. Sin cannot have dominion over you. When you take in account that you belong to God, the Lord Jesus died for you. Your old sinful self, your old sin, all your sin, have been washed in the blood of Christ. Positionally, not always practically, but we also have an out for that. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to cleanse us from our sin and puts upon us the righteousness of Christ. That's wonderful. Okay, second one. First one is know, have a knowledge. The second one is to reckon, to take into account what God has done in our life. The third one is yield. That's what this passage is here, yield. And the same word is used as to present, to yield, or even the last one, obey. There is obedience to Christ in our life. There is an obedience. We just don't float around every day without any responsibility. Christ died for us. Christ brought us into a spiritual, powerful life for Him. He wants us to use it. He wants us to be more like His Son, the Lord Jesus. So obey. So there's service there. There's obedience to a tyrant. That's our flesh. That's our enemies. Or there's obedience to Christ. You have a choice. You have a choice like that every day. You have a choice. The result is, if you listen to the tyrant, the wages of sin is death. Secondly, or there's fruit to holiness. That's good. Fruit to holiness. So there is something we can look forward to. Now chapter 6:1. What shall we say then? Now, he's taking on right after chapter 5. Chapter 5 is how we've been justified by faith in Christ. And then he goes on to say, for as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Then chapter 6, well, what do we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Okay, Paul makes a very definite, powerful answer. What's he say? No, it can't be. And Philip's translation says, what a ghastly thought. That we who are saved, we have the presence of Christ, the Holy Spirit. How can we go on and sin? How can we let sin dominate us? We're to be the victors. We're to dominate, but it's not by our power, not by our strength, but our obedience to Christ, our living for Him, our contact with Him. Day after day after day. Is that our experience? Is that what we're doing? It's all about chapter 6 is all about the very distinctive Christian life. The popular idea of the Christian life, attending meetings or giving money or outward activities. This is what Paul means. This is not what Paul means by the Christian life. Another popular idea is not smoking, not drinking, not doing things, drugs, and all of that other stuff. That's the negative part of the attitude. This isn't the Christian life either, as seen here in this chapter. There's also a danger of legalism. I must read my Bible. I must spend a half hour in prayer daily. I must do this or I must do that. If I don't, I'm not living the Christian life. If I do these things, I'm a good Christian. That's a lot of mentality that there is. The Christian life is characterized by grace. It can only be lived by Christ living through the Christian. There's no other way that it can be done. It is the outflow of communion with Christ. It is not a life of legalism. It is characterized by grace. Remember Peter when he said, "Oh Lord, just call me, I'll come to you." So he steps out. That's real faith, step out on the lake like that. Yet he kept his eyes on Christ and he began walking. Until what happened? He took his eyes off the Lord. And he began to sink. "Oh Lord, help me, I'm sinking." Sometimes that's what we come to, isn't it? We come, "Oh Lord, help me, I'm sinking. Lord, help me. I'm going through this terrible situation. Lord, help me." The Lord helps, doesn't he? The Lord helps when we keep in contact with him. The second word I had was, the first word is still known, a knowledge. And this chapter is an important ingredient of victory in the Christian life. Verse 3, "Know ye not?" Verse 6, "Knowing this." Verse 9, "Knowing that." Paul uses that a lot, doesn't he, through this chapter. Knowing these things. Then the result is positive. That we can depend on those things. And as we approach the chapter, we must see some possibilities in Christian living. We might be just happy enough to go floating along the way we are. One way, one may take the attitude that I can't live a good Christian life. Who can live a good Christian life? It seems as if a lot of Christians can't seem to live it. We see so much failure in others. Therefore, life goes on all the same. Perhaps they don't want to be involved in serious spiritual experience. Perhaps it may cost something. I'm not sure I want to give. The second alternative may be having a tremendous experience. "Oh, I'll just go to the conference. That'll give me a tremendous experience. That'll be an answer to a lot of things." It is an answer, really, to some things, and to a growth in grace and a knowledge of Christ. But some go on special conferences just to try to gain something. Okay, some have even said they reach sinless perfection. G. Campbell Morgan tells about a woman who said she went 28 years sinless. So he asked her, "Well, I'll bet you're proud of that, aren't you?" She says, "Yes, I am." He said, "28 years going down the drain." So the third alternative may be, and this is the one that I cling to, non-continuance in sin. Don't continue the sinful way. Non-domination by sin. Non-continuance under the power of sin. We don't have to. We can make up our mind we're going to walk with Christ. We're going to look to Him for every day of our life. I'm going to obey Him. I'm going to do what He says. I'm going to walk with Him. And if we have that attitude about us, we will. The Lord will give us the power. He'll give us the wisdom. He'll give us the help to do it. In other words, to have a successful, victorious Christian life. Lord, I don't want this sin in my life. Give me the grace to overcome it. Give me the help. You got the power to do it. You can do it. Are we that serious about getting over sin, getting over things in our life that we need to? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. This is not the idea of more sin, more grace. I keep sinning so grace will increase. That's not the idea either. Grace has covered all sin for the believer. Where sin was accumulated a mountain high, grace was great enough to cover it all. But some may ask, doesn't this give us a license to continue sinning that grace may increase? Paul answers this question in the second verse. God forbid. I already mentioned this. Very strong meaning. May it never be. May it not come to be. And as Philip says, what a ghastly thought. Why? How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? There it is. Paul says, well, when we became dead to sin, how is it that we continue doing it? How is it that we continue in the way? Well, he realized that there's practical effects of this. I realize there's practical effects of this because I face it every day. And you probably do too. We do sin. We do fall. We do fail. Praise God, someday we're going to be out of the presence of sin. And we're going to be with the Lord in glory. No more plagued by sin. And all of the things that hit this world today, sorrow, tears, death, all of those things will be gone. We'll be with the Lord forever. That's something to contemplate, isn't it? Be with Him forever. One who has trusted Christ as Savior has become dead to sin. This is all pictured by baptism in chapter 6. If you read these verses. Life, 3 to 5. Spiritual water baptism, no. It is God's desire that we be united with Christ in His death and His burial, in His resurrection, in order that we should walk in newness of life. This is God's purpose of the Christian life. This is resurrection life. Verse 6 and 7. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. The old man is crucified. The body of sin is nullified. It's made inoperative. It's made useless. It's made without effect. Christ settled the sin question once for all. We now admit we have no right to practice sin. Is that right? We have no right to practice sin anymore because we're not under domination of the old man. We're under Christ. We've been made new in the Lord Jesus. We're dead to sin. The work of Christ was done, so we can't have to serve sin. We are no longer under sin's dominion. Christ's experiences were ours. We were in Christ when all this happened. This is why Paul calls Christ the last Adam. We as children of Adam deserved only death. Just as Adam plunged the human race into sin as our representative, so Christ came as the last Adam, and his actions were the way out of sin. God made a way. Praise God. He called the last Adam because he is representative of man. This is important to know, to claim as truth, so it will affect our lives. In God's mind, we were on the cross with Christ as he died for our sin, as he was taken down and buried in the tomb of Joseph Arimathea. We were taken down and buried with him, for we are identified with him. And when Christ came out of the tomb in glorious resurrection, we too, in the mind of God, rose with him. This is our position. Because of our union with Christ, we have been united with him in death, burial, and resurrection. Knowledge is an important word. Reckon is a key word. Reckon or count yourself or count it a fact. Count on it. And there are examples of this that you reckon certain things to help make your decisions. I reckon on this and I reckon on that. I count it a fact. I'm going to do it. So God says the believer has died to sin. There has been adequate provision made in the death of Christ, in identification with him, for my temptation which arises. I reckon myself to be dead to sin. I reckon God's power to victory. I take in account of what all God can do for me. I depend on it. I reckon on it. It's really a faith word, isn't it? It's really a faith word. And so that's why we're reckoning on that. God reckons righteousness. He counts the man without works as righteous, as the one who puts his faith and trust in Christ. He reckons him righteous. He counts on him. It's a fact that he brings about. Faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. God counts Abraham righteous by his faith, not by his works, not by circumcision, not by anything. He counted on it by his faith, by his trust in God. Paul's now saying in Romans 6:11, I want you to exercise your faith. I want you to reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. I want you to count yourselves to be dead to sin and alive to God. How about it? That's what we've got to do in this. Reckon ourselves dead to sin. That's sometimes hard when we're out in the world and we're facing lots of things, lots of attractions Satan puts in the way, our flesh responds to. But this is truth. This is God's word, God's promise, God's way of working in our lives if we'll open ourselves up to that. And we'll walk every day in his love, in his goodness, as ones that have been made righteous by the death of Christ. Well, it's nothing of ourselves, is it? It's nothing of ourselves. It's all God's work in us. It's all what God has done for us He loves us so much that He wanted to undertake for us. He wanted to help us to walk in the way that pleases Him in our love for Him and have an ever-increasing love for Him. You know, when we let the flesh take over, when we let our enemies take over, you know, His love doesn't have the power impact upon us like it should. It hinders our love for Him. Instead, we're starting to like the other thing, or like to follow the other way. And there's a strange thing that the flesh gives us a real feeling of pleasure if we let it. If we dwell on those things long enough, there's a real pleasure comes into your heart. Lord, take this away. You know, Moses refused the pleasures of sin in order to be a leader of His people. We can refuse the pleasures of sin in our life. The prodigal son came to a place. Pleasure was over. The famine had begun. Maybe God needs to bring a famine in our life so that we'll turn to the Father and be accepted by Him for His love for us. That's great, isn't it? That's great. His love for us, He takes us right back again. Clothes us with acceptance. Gives us a feast. We're back in fellowship again. We're back again. That's what we need sometimes in our lives. But it's important to see. Reckon. And then what was the third? Yield. The third one is yield in chapter 6. We're to yield ourselves servants to Him. Know Him. Reckon ourselves to be dead to sin. Reckon ourselves to be His. Thirdly, is to yield to what He has for us. We can be servants of sin. We can be servants of God. We can be servants of the flesh. We can be servants to Christ. So what that means? That means I've got a choice. And if I love the Lord, if I come to know Him, I'm going to make the right choice. I'm going to turn away from that sin. A lot of people have had a sin that just dominates them. So hard to get over. But you know, when we remember that we're not under the Master, we're not under the Lord, that's bad. I want to be under Christ. I want to be His servant. I want to please Him. I want to strive to do what's right. Because you know, one day, when I go to be with Him, I'm going to have to face the judgment seat of Christ. I don't think we should forget that. And everything will be laid out before us. And what the Lord is looking for, He's looking not to condemn you, not to do anything. He's already taken care of that at the cross. But He wants to reward you for walking with Him. He wants to reward you for doing that which is right. He wants to reward you for serving the right Master. That's wonderful to look forward to, you know. And last of all, Obedience is a very important word. Obey. Know, reckon, yield, and obey. Those things are there. Now, a couple of them may sound almost the same, but that's all right. They'll work. Just obey. Obey His word. Obey what He has for us. Let's pray. Father, this morning we thank You for the Lord Jesus. We thank You for what He's done for us on the cross. We remembered that this morning. Help us to remember that always and to consider ourselves dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. What a wonderful salvation. What a great work of God has been done for us. Thank You, blessed Lord, for all of Your goodness to us. Bless all of these folks here, Lord. Bless this assembly. Use them. Use them as an impact, a witness, even all around this area. We ask that You'll help them, empower them, that the Holy Spirit will do a work. So we leave them with You, Lord. Leave all of us with You, so that we may walk in a life pleasing to God. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, folks.